to the bonus level.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Bonus Level Podcast. This is level 40 and the start of season 3. We took a little hiatus and had a few weeks off, and we're back, raring to go with a little bit of a new format. And I'm joined with me, Josh and Luch. How you guys doing?
Doing swell.
Doing all right.
Swell. Doing swell and doing all right. Well, as you can see over here, we're living it up. We are having a grand old time. And for those of you that are listening, for those of you that tune in, thank you. We appreciate your patience as we kind of got some things together and figured a few things out. This week, we're going to be talking about transactions and microtransactions, loot boxes, gambling, the predatory nature of gambling in video games. And before the disinterested listeners click away from this episode because you're not interested in video games, this is going to take a little bit of a look at the ethics in gambling and its connection to not only video games, but to the youth, as well as people with addictive personalities. Mm-hmm. So before you're turned off by the topic of video games, we're going to be discussing a little bit more than that and a little bit more in depth as far as that goes. So back in level 20, 20 episodes ago, we did an episode called Free to Play versus AAA. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the benefits, the pros and cons of a game coming out being free and having all of its revenue generated by in-game purchases versus a title that you pay $60 for and then on top of that get sold DLC, which is, you know, obviously extra content, right? So this is going to be kind of a part two to that. But before we even get started,
okay,
right? I want to give both of you an opportunity here to kind of give a little bit of your insight on where you're coming from in this topic, right? So like how you're feeling about it. So I'm going to give you each about 30 seconds to break down how you're feeling about it. And then I'm going to wrap it up by doing the same thing for me. And we're going to be giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Y'all good with that?
Sounds good. This is a very wide, big category to just give a flat thumbs up or thumbs down.
It is. This is the life that we live. All right. We're going to start with Luch. All right. I want a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And then you have 30 seconds to tell me why. Go.
It's definitely going to be a thumbs down for me. I'm on the side of the team where if you pay for a video game, you have everything that comes into it. If you got to level up or achieve a certain status in it, then you unlocked a special item. I feel like gameplay rewards should be how they are instead of microtransactions to obviously inflate the company's wallet. That's pretty much it for me.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of things there, and we're going to come back to each one of those points because you're bringing up a lot of good points, but at the same time, there are rebuttals to those. So I like that. So that's good. So we got a thumbs down from Luch. Josh, what about you? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
That's going to be a thumbs up for me, Jack, because I like the fact that we have a big amount of free-to-play games that I didn't have growing up. Every game when I was little, you had to go and purchase. And now you have mobile games that are free. You have, online games that are free. All these different things that are free because they're able to make money through different avenues, either through ads or maybe they do have a microtransaction or something like that. That is an optional thing. So for me, who tends to be cheap with my games, I play free games all the freaking time. And that's something I enjoy.
Okay. Awesome. So we got a thumbs up and a thumbs down. This is great. I'm also going to give a thumbs down for microtransactions for loot boxes and the like. And we'll get into why. I'm not going to really just go into it too much. I think that, like Luch said, when you buy a game, you should get it. And the free-to-play games are in a different category. However, we'll get to that part. So we got two thumbs downs and a thumbs up. Now, as far as the discussion goes, let's break apart the issues with microtransactions and transactions themselves. Mm-hmm. You have the video game industry as a whole, right, is obviously a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Correct.
People do it as, you know, as a hobby. There's all different kinds of games. There's games for sports lovers. There's games for people that like physical combat, you know, fighting games. There's games that obviously like the shooter genre, the, you know, action games. There's strategy games, puzzle games. Everything kind of fits into a category of the kind of like person that the kind of game that you like, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at the video game industry as a whole, in and of itself being a hobby, you can compare it to any hobby, right? So you can compare it to, playing golf. You can compare it to playing football or any other hobby that you do, even if you're a stamp collector like Luch, it's a hobby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
total stamp collector.
The point is that whenever you have something that you are spending your time doing, the money that you're investing for the most part feels like a solid investment, right? Because you're enjoying what you're putting the money into.
Correct.
If it's a hobby or it's something that you're, that you like doing, again, it doesn't have to be just sports related. Not all hobbies are physical activity. There's obviously a plethora of different things that you can do as, in your free time. And no judgments. If you like, bird watching or hiking or all of these things are all awesome ways to spend your free time and you spend your money accordingly. My question is that, so say you're a hiker, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what you like to do. You like to go out and, spend your time in the wilderness with wildlife and outside the outdoors. And when you went to purchase your shoes to go hiking, instead of buying a pair of shoes, you paid $50 for a chance at a good pair of shoes, but then it was a higher chance that you could just get like an okay pair of shoes. Would you be okay with that?
Keep in mind,
you're paying the $50 for a chance at like a $200-$300 pair of hiking boots.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a chance that you could get those. But that chance is like, and maybe I tell you ahead of time that it's like maybe a 10% chance, or I don't tell you that at all and I just say, hey, you might be able to get
them. How much are the okay shoes worth?
Maybe the okay shoes are probably worth a little less than 50, maybe like $30.
That's where I would have the issue. Cause I'm cheap where that kind of stuff's concerned. It'd be like, no, just fucking let me pay $20 and buy the crappy shoes.
Well,
like, I don't want the risk or whatever for it. Like I don't need to spend I don't know. It depends on the price. I mean, if you're talking about $50, that is a larger gamble than dealing with other ones. And maybe if it was something more along the line of something I wanted to do, like to me, hearing the difference between a $30 pair of shoes and a $300 pair of shoes, it doesn't excite my mind. But if it were something else, I don't know. I can't think of anything.
I got you. My head. Right here. Ready? Yeah. Here it is. You do photography on the side. Okay. It's a side business. You make money doing it, but it's also a hobby. It's a passion of yours. If I told you that,
in a heartbeat, I know what you're saying. Yes, in a heartbeat.
Your lenses, yeah. Right? You're going to get a new lens, but you're going to spend $50. You might get a $20 eBay lens, but you also might get a $600 like Tamron, whatever, some kind of crazy lens.
Yep. I would definitely take that risk.
Okay. See, all right, before I go any further, Luch, what about you? Something that you're passionate about, something that is a hobby of yours. If I told you that to do your hobby, you were going to pay a fee and get a chance at getting something cool for your hobby, would you do it?
No.
No.
I would, if it's something expensive, I would want to buy the expensive thing. I don't want to spend possibly more than that expensive thing to get that expensive thing.
But what if you paid the lower amount and got it on the first try?
Well, yippity fucking do, but that's probably not going to happen.
Okay. So, and again, this can be applied to any hobby, right? Like, so it doesn't really matter. The point is, and what I'm trying to get at is that ethically, it doesn't make sense anywhere else anywhere else but in video games for cosmetics and for in-game enhancements. Really?
Did you guys never go to Shoe Carnival when you were growing up? Were you guys too rich for the Shoe Carnival where you could go back in when, and
back,
the
back when I was
wait, time out. What?
Shoe Carnival. Have you ever been inside one?
No. What are you talking about? Please explain.
It's a shoe store that has a big like Wheel of Fortune wheel in it. And you can
it's like an arcade.
No, it's a shoe store with just a Wheel of Fortune wheel. It's small, a small version of the Wheel of Fortune wheel. You spin it.
How much you got to pay to spin?
Nothing. That was the cool thing about it. You could spin it.
Okay, well, that doesn't count. I'm saying, like, that doesn't count.
The excitement as far as if my mom was like, do we want to go to Target for shoes? Are we going to this place for shoes? Or do we want to go to Shoe Carnival? It's like, Shoe Carnival. I'm going to spin it because there's a chance of getting candy. Or maybe I can get like 10% off on my shoes. It was just like that excitement was super, super fun. Even though it was like most of the time, it was just stupid.
This is why you're the target audience for microtransactions and why you gave a thumbs up.
Pretty much.
But my point is that you have, this kind of mindset towards video games because it is cosmetic, for the most part, in-game enhancements, etc. Mm-hmm. But ethically, they put it behind a system that does not benefit you. It's not about benefiting you, right? It never has been. Mm-hmm. Loot boxes, loot crates, the roulette system. There was a big issue with the gambling and things being rigged with the Counter-Strike Go a couple years ago, and it was basically like a roulette kind of wheel system and percentages and odds and all this stuff. But my point is, you don't see this same kind of predatory, abusive behavior in any other hobby but video games, right? So is the reason for that because such a huge portion of the video games as a hobby is our youth and younger people, and they're way more susceptible to that?
I think that they found a loophole early on because gambling anywhere is how old? 18 to gamble? Or is it older? I mean, it's banned in most states. And then, I mean, you can maybe do some online stuff, but there's like only certain states that you can go to actually go to a casino because it's so highly regulated. The video game system somehow found a loophole in that to be able to – I mean, that's all loot boxes are. I mean, if we're talking about microtransactions in general, there's a lot of different ones we could talk about as far as like DLC or like even with Pokemon Go, you can buy more Pokeballs and stuff like that, which I have done on occasion when I was too lazy to get off my ass and go spend some things. But – The loot boxes, I feel like, especially with Counter-Strike, the issue with them was you got the key and you got the crate and you spin the wheel and all this kind of stuff, and those things could be worth money. That was flat out gambling, was all that was. And they found a loophole where not only could you do it in every single state, but I don't think there was any age limit on it whatsoever. You could be 10 years old.
Oh, no. That's one of the biggest ethical problems of this entire debate, is that it affects minors.
Yes. That's where I feel like this went wrong, because me as a 34-year-old adult, if I want to have fun and gamble, I would much rather gamble on something fun with a video game than I would feel comfortable going to like a casino website and doing some roulette wheel. Like I just me personally, I would feel
That's so
more
funny.
Comfortable in a video game world.
That's so funny that you say that, because I'm the exact opposite, and I think this is where we're coming from. The you're the thumbs up for the microtransactions.
Well, you're an
adult,
and
thumbs
I'm a
down.
Child. So I
no,
like the video
we're
game.
Both we're both big kids. My point is that I trick myself into thinking if I go sit down at a casino and play cards, even though that's gambling, I can be smart and skillful at it to be good at it to win money.
Yeah, right? But I'm saying like if you were just looking at just slots. I mean, basically a loot box is a slot
just
machine.
Silly.
And it's like, okay, you can go to this slotslots.com or you could get on Counter-Strike.
Be careful of your spelling there, because slotslots.com is very, very similar to, I'm sure, some less than desirable websites.
You heard me right.
You just careful.
But yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, like, I like the idea of doing it on something that I'm more comfortable with, like being a video game that have played and I'm comfortable with. I know of Steam, I know of Counter-Strike, or of, you know, whatever other game, I'm familiar with them and their company, as opposed to maybe some of these other ones. Like, I wouldn't expect to get the same kind of money out of Counter-Strike that it would off an actual casino website, but I may be going for different things. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the loot boxes have always, again, the odds are not stacked in your favor. They're stacked in the video game or the developer's favor. But I want to get, so Looch, you know, speaking at this from an ethical standpoint and looking at it, you know, loot boxes and miners, what do you think they should do for these systems in video games in general? Like, what do you think they should do with them?
Well, definitely not what they're doing now with them. I mean, they're literally trying to just tack on menial rules, like showing the percentages, which is an absolute joke. Like, you know,
it doesn't do anything because people don't care about that.
No.
That's how the companies were able to subside it for the time being, was including your percentage on winning.
Yeah.
Like getting the legendaries like 0.0001 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just a way for video game companies to try to make more money behind. It can either be a paywall, things like even like Pokemon Go. I mean, you know, Pokemon Go, you can keep going and keep going, but there's going to eventually be a point where you have to stop. Either you run out of Pokeballs, you can't make it someplace or whatever. Or like other mobile games where you have a certain amount of energy and once you run out, that's it. And then as soon as you run out, you get a big thing flashing in your face that says, here you go, $5, 15 energy. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Yeah.
And then when it comes to gambling, I mean, like, look at Fortnite, look at any other kind of game that, you know, the demographics are from like 8-year-olds to however. They give them these loot boxes that they'll spend their parents' monies on to even sneak. I had to deal with a customer at my job one day that came in seeing if I could help her try to get her money back because her kid spent $1,200 on Fortnite.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, see, but and that's, again, this is,
that's dealing with a credit,
it's like
card
a double edged it's a double edged sword, because you have video game developers and the publishers, these companies putting these predatory practices out there, but it's just like a casino, because the casino is there, and it's like, you know, you do have people that are like, you know, casinos are bad, but like, they're there, it's a building, it's a place, you don't have to go there, you don't have to spend your money there, you don't have to, you know, get bamboozled. The same thing with video games, like, yes, they are there, they're being predatory, they have predatory practices, their loot boxes, their loot crates are all, you know, the odds are all stacked up against you, but you don't have to buy them. You don't have to participate, right? Mm. So at the end of the day, is it their fault or is it your fault?
Well, I have a question, because I'm not sure. Have they used as the defense that most of these things are on mature games, and so they should be 18-year-olds to be playing it, or
most of them are not on mature games, absolutely not.
Like the loot
almost
box
all
ones?
Of these games, yeah, almost every single loot box is on at least, you know, E to up. I mean, even Nintendo's starting to do it. Like every company is trying to go on that kind of, hey, your game's free or your game's a lower price,
mm-hmm.
and then here you go.
Yeah, because the only
and then
one
once you get into it,
yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And then once you get into it, you find out that everything's either behind a paywall or everything that you want inside of the game, maybe like, you know, a type of skin, maybe a gun or something, you have to pay extra for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though all it is just a tiny bit of code inside of the video game.
Yeah, and so I mean, I'm familiar with loot boxes from things like Counter-Strike, PUB. And Apex, which I think all because of shoot 'em up games are mature. So, I mean, I haven't seen them in...
What about Overwatch? Is Overwatch mature?
Teen.
Yeah, so I think it, I don't think it goes, I mean, loot box wise, like loot crate systems for skins and things like that. I don't think it really goes too much down. I know that they still do microtransactions and that kind of like buy more in all games, but most of it is in teen and up.
Yeah,
it is so, that teenager, that's the target audience, is the teens to adolescents.
Well, that's what one of the debates was, is that also one of the ways on how they were able to keep it going for so long is that they had to make it to where you had to include it in the rating. So I don't think going forward, I think even at some point games were trading their E rating for a T just so they can put in microtransactions or loot.
No, absolutely. Of course. And of course they would. And again, I think that at the end of the day though, and I don't really think either of you answered my question. Whose fault is it?
Whose fault is what? Exactly.
The fact that we have such a, let me back up a little bit. So just to give you guys an idea, digital revenue from video games, okay, was over $100 billion last year in 2018. That's digital revenue, okay? 80% of that, so almost $90 billion of that 100 and something billion dollar revenue, 87 billion of it was on free to play titles.
Yeah.
So the question is, all right, so coming back from a developer standpoint, to play devil's advocate, right, for a little bit, if I'm a video game developer, I release my game for free, right? And I say, here's the game, you can play it, you can access it. However, if you want to look cool, you can buy this, 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 and this, i.e. Apex Legends, right? Mm-hmm. Just, it happened, it's been out for 6 months, or maybe a little bit longer, I'm not sure. You know, it's been out that long. It was free to play. Everybody can download it, can play. It was a smash hit. It made, you know, had more players joining it than Fortnite had in its first month, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, down the line. It was 100% free to play. All of its cosmetics were, on one hand, earnable-ish, right? Mm-hmm. You could earn them through boxes, but the drops were really low, etc. Or you could pay.
Yeah.
You could pay to be part of a season pass. You can pay for loot crates. You can pay for coins. Now, in a game like that, if I'm a developer, I'm saying, okay, I made this game for free. The only way we can keep the studio open, to keep the game updated, to keep it running, is to sell skins, to sell microtransactions. Now, is it my fault that I set it up in a way where I'm going to benefit and I'm going to make revenue off of gambling? Or is it the people's fault for going, oh, sweet, I'm going to pay $10 to try to get this skin rather than just buying the skin for whatever it cost at $5 or et cetera?
It's definitely both of their fault. However, it's definitely game companies is what started it.
So you're on the fence. So you're on the fence of, you're on the side of, if the game companies wouldn't have put it in there, I wouldn't have had the opportunity. So that it's not my fault that I took advantage of it.
The only reason why I'm on the fence about it is, one, when game companies started this, let's say CSGO, people get addicted to this stuff. I mean, you see all kinds of stuff on the news about how much money some guy put into digital.
But that's my point. But this is exactly my point. You're making my point for me. It's the guy getting addicted to it. It's not the entity. It's like it's the casino thing. The casino is a building, right? It's not the casino's fault that the guy went and put his mortgage down on a poker game. It's not the casino's fault. It's a building. It's a place.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct. But they're also regulated. These aren't regulated.
But it's the concept, right? The concept is the same. It's not about whether it's regulated or not.
I mean, if you look at us, you know, you look at me, you and Josh. I mean, are you going to go and spend – how much have you spent on Apex loot boxes?
Me? None.
None. Josh, how much have you spent on Apex loot boxes?
Zero.
Okay. How many 8 to 15-year-olds do you think have spent money on loot boxes?
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, they've made so much. Millions.
Exactly. And that's where it comes into play, where these kids are becoming susceptible to gambling and probably will affect their future life because of it.
Right. Okay. And again, to play devil's advocate, is it the game's fault or is it the parents' fault and their upbringing?
No, it's the game's fault. No, definitely the game's fault. 100%.
I 100% disagree with you. 100%. I don't see how you can blame it on the game when the parent isn't taking enough time to teach the kid about gambling and about the potential addiction that you can get from the thrill of getting something out of and chance, you know, a luck.
True. And they also need to learn to balance their own checkbooks, because like my kids bought something on Roblox or whatever the game, and I immediately was able to catch that and go, okay, hey, how come you guys spent $10 on something? And we had a big long conversation about where this money was going, what they were doing, and you know, that kind of thing. I had to set up all kinds of passwords to make sure that they couldn't purchase things without, you know, my knowledge. It was a big learning experience for the whole family there. I think
it's right. But you had that experience, right? Yeah. And then you dealt with it.
Yes.
And now do they buy anything?
No. And it's right. So funny because they'll come better to me, because sometimes like the games, I don't know if you know Roblox or anything like that, but the games are all made by random people. Like the Roblox system is basically created, I guess, by some company, but then a lot of the games in it are done, like I could make a game for it and submit it. So a lot of these games are super buggy. Yeah. And so like they'll mouse over or run over a spot in the ground that has a pop-up that wants you to buy something, and they'll accidentally like hit something and they'll go, "Dad, I didn't try buying anything. Believe me." And it's like, "No, you're cool. I saw what happened," you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, we had to have that conversation about it, because I had to call my credit card company and be like, "Hey, there's a couple transactions on here that we got to get figured out, because yeah, I'm not spending all this money on this stupid fucking game."
Can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not harping as much on free-to-play games and microtransactions. One of the best games I think does it might be, you know, League of Legends, right?
Yes.
You can buy a skin.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to buy this whatever champion skin. It's $8.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Great, I only play this champion, right? They didn't go the route of all skins are locked behind a loot box, and then you have to roll among... All right, so how many champions are there? Do you guys know exactly?
130-something, or close to 140.
All right, so we'll say 130. Each champion has an average of 4 skins. We'll say that, right? So that's 520 skins right there. And then you have to roll on that loot box, and then you have to chance to get the champion skin that you want. Mm-hmm. So that's a 1 in 520 chance right there, right? But to roll it, only $2. So then now that if you spend the exact same price as what it would cost you to buy that skin versus what it costs for you to roll that, now you have a 4 in 520 chance of getting that skin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've always done it properly, because you have the option to do both. They do have loot boxes and crates and boxes that you can open with the keys that give you that, ooh, let's see what I'm going to get kind of feeling. But those are all earnable. You can purchase them, but you can also earn them.
Correct.
And I think that if there's both of those things, then it completely negates.
Correct. You know. But the loot boxes, what's the best thing about them, and what my big point about why gambling in video games is so bad, is that you still get a returnable if you don't get something you want. You can break down those skins for in-game money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other video game, you can't. When you go gambling in Las Vegas, you're gambling on the possibility of getting a good return in money. Right? Well,
yeah.
If you're spending money on a digital product, let's say a skin, and you keep going and going and not getting something you want, you don't get something in return that maybe you didn't want.
Yeah.
League of Legends allows you to break things down and sell it for in-game gold or in-game essence, whatever you call it, which is great. And they're normally fairly priced too. I think if you get like, I just got a cane once in that loot box, and I broke them down for like 2,800 essence or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which can be 4 champions, it can be 6 champions, it can be 2 champions, depending on how much you know they're worth. And I think that's a great way of going about it, but it's the ones that are literally blocking everything behind a loot box.
Right. Again, and for the sake of discussion and to continue this forward, it's weird though, right? Because you know, when somebody gets a DUI, mm-hmm. the bar that they came from doesn't get fined.
They do, actually.
Wait, what? Really?
Yes. That the bar that you left and the bartender that served you, if taken to court, like if they really wanted to press it, the bar and the bartender can be held responsible for a DUI, which is
– That doesn't make any sense.
It's very
intense. Is that real?
It is 100%.
Is that real?
And it may be – there may be different state laws. I know in the state of Georgia that is definitely the case, that if I go to a bar and they serve me, if I can – I mean, basically, it would have to be a situation like I'm driving home drunk. They pull me over. I get taken to jail, and then my lawyer – starts running the case of Josh was drunk when he tried ordering a drink. The bartender should have cut him off, but they still served him. And then he went and drove drunk and stuff like that. The bartender can end up getting fined. The bar itself could lose their liquor license over something like that. It's pretty serious. It's
I think that has to be. That has to be state to state, but I do stand corrected if that's the case, and that's crazy. So that's a bad example, right? but the point still remains is for the most part, if you go do something bad, mm-hmm. you don't blame the inanimate place, object, etc. for your actions. Well, no, right?
Exactly. And that's the thing. I completely understand where you're coming from here, where 100% of what we're talking about, especially if we're dealing with anything loot boxes, gambling related, it is definitely on the person. I think where the video game stuff runs a little bit sketchy is where there's not an age limit, because they are able to kind of sneak into stuff. Like, I mean, there's state regulations for gambling for a reason and federal regulations on gambling for a reason. And video games found a little loophole there. But as far as right. any kind of transactions with video games, I think based in this day and age, what we have, the social media, Twitter, and all this kind of stuff to be able to interact with the creators of the game, with the companies that made the game and all this stuff, that all game companies have to run a balance between giving us good content and being greedy. Because, of course, they want to make money. They want to be the best-selling game out there. They want to make bukus of money because everyone wants to fucking make money. Why not? Why would you not want to make a shit ton of money? But once you step over that line, like I believe it was, what was that one Star Wars game? One that they talked about.
Oh, the big one, Battlefront.
Yeah. Too. Like that one became like internet famous.
Legend.
Because of how crappy, greedy they tried being. Like instantly, it was just like all over Reddit. It was all over, you know, Twitter and all this stuff talking about the game and how greedy they were going to be and the amount of money that you would have to spend to even be able to unlock all this different stuff. It was just, it was ridiculous, and that hurt them tremendously. But then these other companies are able to kind of pull some of this stuff and, you know, we don't have any problem with it. Like, I don't have any problem with a lot of these games charging. I mean, like we all just said, we've all played the fuck out of Apex. Never spent a single penny on it. And I was perfectly fine with that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, hold on 1 second. Let me so Luch, what you were gonna interject in the middle there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason why Star Wars Battlefront 2 became such a big deal was because their loot boxes and their microtransactions were pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them was pay to win. And they did it even worse, where like the older video games, let's go Modern Warfare 2, as you leveled up, you unlocked better and better weapons, right?
Yeah.
Or other weapons. Battlefront 2 is you got to a certain point by in-game content, and then once you went past a certain threshold, they were not unlockable by in-game anymore. You had to pay for mm-hmm. them. And all of the best weapons and gear were behind a paywall.
Yeah.
And that got stomped in the ground real quickly, and I believe that is illegal now.
Yeah, and so I mean that's what I think that we are able to do as consumers with this kind of stuff. That when a company steps over that line of being too greedy, they get shut down. Like people are like, I'm not fucking playing this game. Like I have no problem paying a shit ton of money to play video games. I played WoW 4 years. Okay, that was $50 for the game. It was $25 a month that I paid each and every month for no new content, just the same content. Just I played because I enjoy the game. I had no problem paying it because I loved it. And then the new expansion would come out. I'd pay for that. And it just, it was a continuous thing. So I probably dropped more money into that than I have any other. It's not even close into any other game. You know, but I had no problem with that because I was enjoying it a lot. The same with League of Legends. I've had a lot of fun just playing it. Like when I first got into League, I would find different characters that I would really fall in love with and I really wanted to play them. So it was like, okay, I'll spend $5 on a skin because I really like this character and this is the one that I want to play. And I was really psyched about it. You know, I stopped playing it for a little while and I've come back to it. And since then, I wouldn't even consider paying even a dime on the game anymore. And that's cool because it's my choice at this point to be able to go, yes, I want to spend money or no, I don't. And if I don't, that's cool. I'm still able to play the game because, and I'm looking at this, a stat right here that says studios and developers know that only 0.15% of mobile gamers account for 50% of all in-game revenue. So you're talking 0.15% spend 50% of in-game revenue. So everyone else is kind of doing little transactions here and there, spending a little bit of money. And then you got some people that are just throwing money at it. And who knows who these
the problem is with transactions, just in general, microtransactions and why it is so predatory. Is not just because a loot box is a thrill, it's gambling, it is the chance at getting something. You know, that hype moment, like we were playing D&D last night and, you know, watching the rolls on the table is so hype because you don't know what's about to happen. So you roll it and then it's like, oh my gosh, there it is. So that's the thrill, the feeling of gambling. The problem is that the way that it's set up is it's in very small increments. Okay. If mobile game wise, right? So, and that's where the stat is talking about, you know, mobile gamers 0.15 is 50% of revenue is because you put a dollar here for extra energy. It's $5 here for this pack. It's a dollar when you run out again. It's another dollar. And it doesn't seem like a lot until you add it all up over the course of, you know, months and months that you're playing this game. And you're like, oh my God. I only spent a couple dollars that day and a couple dollars this day, a couple dollars that day. And it ends up being like, well, wait a minute. I downloaded this app for free. Why did I pay $60 for it? You know what I mean?
I think that's all the quality of the game. Because, I mean, that's the thing. People, we are consumers. Our money is going somewhere. We all have that choice. I mean, we've all had salesmen call us and go, hey, you know, would you like to buy this thing for $20 or $100 or whatever. And it's like, man, I don't have fucking money for that. And then we'll turn around and drop like twice that amount of money going out drinking one night. And it's like, I am literally pouring this money down my throat and I'm about to piss it out or throw it up in the next couple hours. Like, you know, it's all what is important to us and what we feel like spending money on. Like there's some games that I would spend money on over other games because of my enjoyment or my love or what I have fun with.
It's about what you enjoy. Luch, what were you going to add to that?
So what I was going to add is, Josh, it was something you said a little bit ago. I was trying to one of the things you said was monthly subscriptions. Mm-hmm. And how often did you play World of Warcraft
back then? I played from beta till, I don't know.
We'll talk about four a week. Or five How many years. Hours do you think you... How many hours do you think you put into World of Warcraft?
Oh my God, it was sad. There was a lot. How many hours are actually in a week?
Just give me an average. Just give me an estimate.
I don't know. 24 hours a day times 7 days a week is what, 140 something, 150 something hours. At least 50.
That was a lot. 50. Okay, so you spent about 50 hours a week playing. I don't know, probably not all the World time.
That was
50 hours a week. You're working for 40.
We'll say 35. Sleeping
for that was in college. Yeah, I was in college at the time. I played a lot of freaking video games.
All right, so you spent 35 hours a week playing that game. And then you spent, obviously, $60 on the game, right? And then you spend $15 a month to play it.
I think it was 25 back then. It may have been 15. I don't know. One or the other.
But anyways, But do you feel like you got your money's worth from that subscription?
Yeah. I mean, I always enjoyed it. Like, it sucked to have to pay $25 a month. But at the same time, I wasn't going to cancel my subscription because I would rather pay that money than not play the game. So.
Okay. And I love playing games like Skyrim. You know, mm-hmm. I bought Skyrim for $60 flat. And then there were some DLCs on top of that. So maybe like $80. Mm-hmm. And I put 400 hours into that game, right? Out of one game. My point is that monthly subscriptions, there was so much to do in a game like World of Warcraft. There's so much to do in an MMO. And even back then, they didn't have any microtransactions. They have some now, but they're very minuscule. Yeah. I mean, there's like a couple mounts and like whatnot, but I mean, you know, I think, don't they donate money anyways from those?
Probably.
But regardless, subscriptions are, you spend $15 a month and then you got over 200 hours of video game time out of that a month,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. I think that's well worth it, right?
Yeah.
And then all that stuff was unlockable in the game. And then you spent 5 years playing that game, we'll say $15 a month, you know, 12 months. I mean, I don't know the exact math on that. I think it's like 160 or something like that. So you spent 160 times five. You just gave them $800 over the course of 5 years. And that's just one of you. And I guarantee you there's a lot more people like you mm-hmm. that did that. There's some who's still doing that.
Of course. So what are you getting at there?
I feel like a subscription is by far a way better investment than microtransactions would be on free-to-play games.
Yeah, sure. But what if they were adding microtransactions on top of a subscription?
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, if it comes down to the point where, like, microtransactions, predatory microtransactions and loot boxes and those kind of stuff either becomes, you know, by far regulated or even removed, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with a subscription. Hell, I did them for RuneScape back in the day.
Oh, see, I completely disagree.
You'd rather pay for a subscription for access to all of like the cosmetic content?
No. Like to play the game.
Period. That's the thing. Right, but we're talking about free to play games. If Legends had a subscription, I would stop playing it immediately. Like, I love the fact that it's free and I have a choice to spend money if I want to. I wish World of Warcraft was that way. I wish it was free and I had the choice to spend money if I want to.
And that's like where we differ. I mean, I would rather have an easier way of getting all in-game content and spending $15.
But that's exactly what I'm asking you. So like if you're talking about paying for a subscription and you just get access to everything that's available in the game, every skin, every customizable feature, and you're paying for a subscription, is that what you're saying you would like?
That or buying the game outright, whichever one. Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Because right, you so know then, what you're getting for the price.
I think that we can use League as a model. Some people could say that, like, well, you know, they're pumping out skins just for the money, which is true. But I think that League has always been upfront about its cost. Right? There's types of transactions in every type of video mm-hmm. game. Whether it's, again, sports games. In sports games, you can buy like packs of cards for players to try to build teams. And they're the same as loot boxes. The odds are very, very bad. Like mm-hmm. you can get the different versions of the cards, you know, the gold, silver, platinum, like et cetera, et cetera. And if they're, you know, the ones that are more rare. And the problem is that anytime there's anything that's based on chance, that's the part that's predatory, right? League has always had both. You've always had the option to buy something right out, flat out, right, for a price, mm-hmm. right? And then you have an option to purchase like the boxes to try to get stuff.
Correct.
Or you can earn them. Now, Overwatch is another one. It's this, like, in Overwatch, you could buy boxes or you could earn the boxes and get the same amount of content.
Yeah. Exactly. And League also has the thing about certain skins that are locked behind content, which I feel is great. I would rather have a skin that is locked behind content than a skin that I paid $8 for and I have it immediately. I would feel more proud to have that skin, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. So, and it's exactly my point. You know, so if we based everything on that, then I have no problem. I have no problem with microtransactions, cosmetics, in-game purchases, if everything is earnable. Not everything is earnable, but you can get the same feeling, the same like the same option for these transactions by playing the game as you can by purchasing. If somebody wants to purchase it, great. If you want to get it out of a 1 in 1,000 chance, okay, cool. You can do that too.
So, and here's one other thing that pricing as well is becoming a big problem, which again, League is by far one of the only people who have decent prices and have always kept to their pricing. I don't think they've ever raised them up significantly. I don't think, right? They've always kept them on like that $520, $1350 type thing.
Well, yeah, it's about the same. Everything's, I mean, their most expensive skins are like $25.
Yeah, but then you spend $25 on the super skins, you know. But right, they exactly. have, you know, you can change what they look like. You can change color options, animations. They level up with you as your character levels up in the game and change over time. Like, you know, they have a lot of stuff going for them. But then you take a look at a game like Fortnite that all of the skins that are unique or different are like $20 flat.
Yeah.
I think they're like 2,000 coins, which is $20.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad thing that Fortnite does, which is what leads to people buying so many of their loot boxes, is the fact that all of their skins are on a time wall, meaning that they're not all readily available. They refresh after a week.
Yeah, the shop resets.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can't buy anything then.
Yeah. All right. So let's circle back around here, because we've now discussed the ins and outs of, you know, the transactions as a whole, how they work, the loot boxes, you know, predatory behavior, etc. Let's pull that out and talk from an ethical standpoint, mm-hmm. because I think that, again, we are coming at this from a little bit of a different angle. Like, Luch, you're saying that it's the video game's fault for putting this type of option in the game. I blame the environment that the person that's using the game is in. Nowadays, parents use video games as a babysitter. They don't want to deal with their kids. They don't want to train, you know, teach their kids. They don't want to, you know, help them, et cetera. So they just send them off to play whatever on the game to keep mm-hmm. them quiet. And that in and of itself is the problem.
Trying to raise the next ninja, you know.
Yeah, daddy right?
wants to retire sometime.
You never know. Yeah, I never know. They're going to just, you know, get famous. And it's that same – I think whenever I was a kid, it was the feeling of like seeing your favorite sports mm-hmm. star. Like, you go to a baseball game, hockey game, football, whatever it is, basketball, and seeing like your favorite player and going like, oh man, if I play him enough, I can be a pro yeah. player. Like, I can do that. Right. And so, I mean, which is true. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm definitely not discouraging people following their dreams and, you know, being active and going after that stuff, because everybody should. But my point is that now we're also throwing in video games as a potential career, from streaming, from being a pro, from, you know, all of this to making all of this money. They see people like the kid who won the Fortnite Cup was like, what, 16?
Something like
18?
That.
One $3 million. Mm. I mean, it's like, I mean, that's great. That's awesome. Good for him. You know, he's the best player of the game that there is. That's awesome. But the point is that all of the rest of his peers and younger see that as like, oh, well, I can do that. I can drop out of school and do that full time. And then, you know, yeah, good. But I can't play with my friends if I don't have the newest skin and I have to do that. Dad, I need $10. Like, it's the culture around it, right? And it's being bred based on what Luch is saying, but also based on the fact that this is being reinforced. It's being reinforced by media, by peer pressure, and it's not being kind of corralled by any sort of form of authority.
I don't know.
And now I sound
yeah,
like
I mean,
a,
do you feel like this needs to be regulated more? I mean, because how I just think of it is, people are going to spend their money what they want to fucking spend money on, whether it's a video game or whether it's infomercials or whether it's,
I agree. I agree. I think that it comes down to how it is.
What do you mean?
Right. I think it's how it's presented. Like the loot, again, loot boxes, the predatory odds being stacked against people to just constantly throw money away.
I mean,
It needs to be more based on like on the league model. But at the end of the day, you're right. They're going to spend money.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I feel like if someone's that stupid to get caught up in something like that, they're going to be caught up in something else. Like it's
– yeah.
These kind of things
– which is exactly why I said that it's not the video game's fault. It's not the developer's fault. They know that if they make this skin $10, people are going to buy it. The new Apex Legends like season, that whole crown event. There's skins that are like $18.
I think that it helps the video game companies make more money so they can put out better content. When we grew up, Mario had one fucking outfit. He still, it's 2019, has one fucking outfit. You know, like the games now, there's so many cool things that you can do with characters, with mounts or, you know, pets or guns, and all this kind of stuff is incredible. I think it's super cool. And if there wasn't money in this, I don't think this kind of stuff would be around. I mean, like when we were playing, Modern Warfare and stuff like that, there were a few different variations and stuff. But the variations started getting a whole lot cooler as soon as money started getting involved. You know, they would go, hey, you can pay for this one. It's like, well, I'm not paying for that one. It's just fucking gold. Then it was like, all right, let's make this cool one. It's like, oh, shit, that's cool. I'll pay $5 for that. Like, so that was something that was cool that was brought to the game. But then, you know, you start getting more money to these games and these game companies. And it's like, okay, now we can expand our development team. We can get bigger servers. I mean, think of all, like, we got into League not even in the beginning, but we watched how much it grew. I mean, do you remember when they were trying to put servers all across the U.S.? You know, they had so much trouble back then, and they finally started making enough money that they're like, we're putting in more servers. We're going to have an East Coast server. We're going to have, you know, a Midwest and then a West Coast and everything so everyone can have better connections. It was absolute insanity for a long time when people were trying to connect. But them getting fed enough money allowed them to be able to do that. Where now, like, I hop on and I'm rocking 30 ping all day long. Like, I don't even think about it. It blows my mind to think back to the days where I was trying to play the game with 200 ping playing Ezreal or Lee Sin. Like, it's just like, what the hell was that? You know?
Hold on 1 second. So, Luch, you want to interject there?
So, Josh, I would absolutely agree with you if it was true, first of all. And I'm going to harp
which
on
part? Which part?
The part that they spend money in order to better their own game. That may be true for some games, like League of Legends, for example. That's not true for all games.
No, I'm sure it's not.
And I'm going to harp on one of my favorite companies, Bethesda. That game's still terrible. Mm-hmm. Okay. That game still has a lot of problems, and they make a lot of money off of their how much they charge for each of their items. And fuck, man, like it's like $10 for a ceiling fan, right? To put in your house, right? Not all game companies, actually, I would say most of them don't put money into the development of making the game better. Instead, they put it towards other ways that they can make more money.
I was just about to say that. I was 100% just about to say that. I would say that none. There is not the video game franchise as a whole is a business.
Exactly.
It's a business to make money. If they're putting money back into their games, it's to make more money on that game or on another game or on another game. Like they're not, it's not like they're like, all right. I would say 99.9% of video game companies are doing it to make money so that they can make money. To make money. They aren't making money to then give that money that they're making to charity or to nonprofits, or, you know, they're putting it in their pockets. They're using it to make money. They're paying their own salaries. Right. And I know that there's plenty of independent game companies, developers that are working their asses off to do what they're passionate about. Right. And I'm not dogging on any of that, but the point is that it's always a business. You're always in it to become successful and to become profitable. That's what a business is. That's what a business does.
Sorry.
Even League of Legends, Riot doesn't just do things just to put money into their game. They're working on other types of games. They're working on other types of modes. They're putting more money into their broadcasting, into their production quality. They're padding their own pockets, paying their own salaries while they're building, right? It's not just about like, oh, well, yeah, we only care about our people.
No.
I mean, EA is a huge, huge, I mean, like, look, you were talking about Bethesda. Look at EA and their reputation. I saw a post on Reddit with every company that EA has kind of like brought under their wing as a game developer. And every single one of them has this like great start into a burning fire, like just ashes.
Look at Anthem. Anthem was terrible. Look what happened to Anthem. That was one of the most, you know, what do you call it when you're looking forward to it?
Hyped.
Anticipated.
Hyped.
Yeah, one of the most hyped, anticipated games of all time. People were going crazy over that game. It looked beautiful. EA spent so much money on its demo, on making sure it looked really good at E3, making sure that people got to hear about it. And then when that game came out, forget about it. It was terrible. That game has tanked so far beyond any other game. It's way past Fallout 76 in terms of the worst launch ever. This game just flew down.
But exactly my point, though, is that EA is the you know, evil overlord over all of that. You know, it's the same thing that's now happening with Apex. You know, Respawn, unfortunately, is dealing with this, all of this backlash on social media because of this past event and effectively how much money it costs to like to get their new Bloodhound heirloom. Like, you to end up buying it, it's like, I forget, some crazy amount of money that you end up spending in the end to get it. And like, skins are $7, $18. It's absolutely insane, right? And at the end of it, at the top, the evil overlord is EA. Respawn released a game at the beginning. It was, they wanted free to play. They wanted to have microtransactions, but it was only to keep the development of the game and keep it updated.
And like, that's the thing though, is like, that's where the problem comes in. And that's where, like, I mean, look at Fortnite, you know, that game is probably still one of the highest grossing games of all time, right? If not still, am I wrong?
Oh, it is. No, I'm sure it is 100%. Yeah.
And how often do they change their game? And when they do change their game, they don't do a massive change to it. They're still on the same map. They just change like a quadrant.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it is the most popular game being played, right? So it is changed. Like, there is a patch like weekly, I believe. They do change things. They add things. It goes up and down. The community hates it 1 week, loves it the next. Like, it goes up and down. But the point is that it's so relevant that they're making a killing off of their digital store.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But again, we started to go down the ethical path, and I want to kind of stay there. To kind of wrap things up through here, you know, at the end of the day, right, this is, I think, where we end up disagreeing. At the end of the day, what needs to happen in order to get rid of this entire culture, this entire, you know, the culture of gambling in video games? Josh, you first.
I don't see a problem with it. Is my thing. Like I said, I feel like in the day and age that we live in, if there's a company that oversteps the balance and they go too far into the greed area, they're going to lose clientele. People see that. I see that when I download an app and I'm like, I downloaded this app because there was a free version and I could take two steps before I have to start paying for shit. I'm deleting it immediately. Like, I don't. Like, I'm not bothering with that. I don't mind.
What I see with that is, though, is that you don't see a problem with it because, you know, the day and age we live in, but they still will attack a chunk of people that are gullible enough to fall for it every time, that will dump their money into it every time.
Rather than spend money supporting the video game I'm playing than buying drugs. Or whatever. I don't know. Like, I
mean, unfortunately, everything has a consequence. Every action has a consequence. So somebody, you might say like, oh, well, if he's just spending money on video games, it's no big deal. Well, you don't know that that's that person's money. That's their only, you know, money that they have. And now all of a sudden they, you know, you know, they don't have any money, and now they're kicked out of their house, and now they have, now they're homeless, and now they're turning tricks on the street for some meth, you know, down the corner. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, things snowball into other things based on your choices. Yeah.
Here, right. I was
just buying a skin.
And if I see you on the street corner and I could pay you money for you to suck my dick, and it all stemmed from a video game tricking you into spinning things, there's so many issues in between the beginning and the end of that. That it's no, I'm not going to say the video game has anything to do with that. People have to have their own.
It can. Yes, it can. That's cool. That's the point, is that every action has a consequence and can lead to other things.
That's the thing. How long have we had video games like this? Like, this isn't a new phenomenon. There have been broke people. There have been homeless people. There, all this kind of stuff. People, you have to learn how to manage your money. And maybe a video game is going to teach you how to do it. Maybe you lose money and you miss making a rent payment. No, or
it's going to expose your flaws. Yes. Is what it's going to do. And that's exactly my point. It's exactly what I've been saying. It's not the video game developer's fault. At the end of the day, whether they put loot boxes, whether they put crates, whether they put it behind paywalls, pay to win, all of this stuff doesn't make any difference. And I'll tell you why. Because if a game is not enjoyable and they make it unfair, I'm not going to play it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the bottom line. And this is exactly what I was trying to get at. So I was going way, way around playing devil's advocate. But the point is, and this is what I was disagreeing with Looch for, is that it is not the developer's fault. It is the individual's fault that is buying into the predatory behavior, that is letting the developers and the game companies take advantage of them, that's spending their money for no reason, or the ones, and I will even put it even further, the people that will pay for something in order to win at a video game are the same kind of people that will cheat to win.
Yeah.
Because the actual winning part of the game means everything to them, and the skill and being good at it means nothing.
You know, maybe this kind of thing, maybe if enough kids get fucked up financially, we're finally going to start implementing some type of finance class in grade school, you know?
Oh, I absolutely think there needs to be a finance class throughout
school. And maybe 100%. Fortnite is going to be the way that we learn to do that. Maybe enough kids are going to start like getting into high school broke as hell, and their parents going like, my kid has no idea how to handle money. We have to do something about this. I mean, my kids are 7 and 9, and it's so hard to just go like, this is money. Like, you have to understand, because they just treat their toys like crap. They'll just break a toy and be like, well, we'll just go to Walmart and buy a new one. It's like, this is a $20 toy. Like, or their controller, an Xbox controller, they'll get mad and throw it on the ground. It's like, this is a $60 freaking controller. Like, you cannot do that. I was like, you do understand how long I have to go to work, or what kind of work that I have to do in order to go and buy a new one of these. Like, that kind of concept is something that you have to work on over time. And I know that there's a lot of parents out there that probably don't go through that kind of stuff. That, you know, maybe this is going to be a whole thing, that it's a crazy butterfly wing flapping in one area that we don't realize is having an effect in another area. Then all of a sudden, because of Fortnite, we now have financial classes in school, and, you know, Fortnite actually saves America.
At the end of the day, like, it is all based on the upbringing, the surroundings, the environment of the child. 100%. I know people today that have kids that give their kids allowances and then allow them to spend their allowance on Fortnite or on video games.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're not doing anything, but you're buying it for them. All you're doing is just like enabling it.
Well, right? Okay. So if the kid is getting an allowance, it depends on what they're doing. Like, if the kid is just doing nothing other than living and getting an allowance, or are they cleaning their room?
I'm talking about an allowance. Like, I'm not talking. I'm not talking about like, oh, well, he's working and he's getting money for what,
you know, or even let's say that the kid just exists and they get a $10 weekly allowance if they want to spend it on Fortnite. Like, I think that something like that can teach money management, because a kid knows how much. I mean, that would teach a kid what $10 is. If they get $10 per week, they learn, oh, I can buy this kind of skin. Or maybe I don't want to buy that kind of skin because I can only get one of those. But if I do this, I can buy four of these. Like, that actually teaches a money management type thing. And I can tell you, from a guy that has gone to Walmart and spent, I mean, look at my room right now. There are toys everywhere. There's Nerf guns. There's Hot Wheels. There's like costumes, whatever. There's so many toys that at this point, like, I would so much rather buy Robux, buy money in Battle Cats, buy Fortnite skins for my kids so that they have digital things. All my toys are fucking digital. I'd rather buy digital toys for my kids in a lot of way rather than keep stacking up on these toys. So in that kind of situation, I like that, what those parents are doing. Now, I would want to
implement I'm not talking about that. Yeah, I'm not talking about like actually using it as a tool and a lesson to be like, this is the value of what you worked for. You can buy this. Yes, this is something that you would like to do.
The possibility of that, though, is there, that you could have something set up with
it. It could be, sure, but it's not. Guaranteed it's not, right? These kids, the parents are not using these moments as teachable moments, right? They're using them as a, you know, get out of my face moment.
Yeah, and you could see that with some parents for sure.
I would say that I would be willing to say that it's a higher percentage. You may be an exception, you know, and I'm sure there's plenty of others, but it's going to be a higher percentage that are just, you know, get out of my face. Mommy has to drink a mimosa. Right.
I mean, that's as a kid getting free skins because Mama wants to get drunk. I mean, maybe I'll have psychological effects later in life, but I'm going to be fucking dabbing on all my friends, just stunting with my new skins. Like, hey, bitches, what's up? Talking some mad shit.
This is the problem.
Talking some mad shit in fourth grade. Like, you kids don't. Oh, you kids can't hang out with me. You can't be in my clan. Not unless you got that. Yeah. Those fat skins.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Am I going to lose talking privileges?
Yeah, I think so. Because, yeah, it's just, I don't know what side you're on. At least Luch is like picking a side and staying there. You're just
trying to behave. I've said from the very beginning that I like the fact that games companies charge things. I think that the possibilities that it opens are, some are going to be good, some are going to be bad. I think there's more good than there are bad. I think if a company oversteps the line, then that's the balance that hurts them. But overall, there are lots of opportunities. I mean, like I said, there's free games now. That's awesome. I love free games. And if you want to go drop all your money on any of these games, Apex, League, whatever, PUB, Fortnite, like, cool, go do that. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to play the game for free. And that's awesome to me that I can get a game and play it for free. So.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I do agree. I just think that, you know, the way that it's set up can be definitely regulated more. And I think that at the end of the day, they should always give an option for both ways of earning, whether through crates or through just purchase, because then it takes away the gambling part of it. Like, if you want something specifically, you don't have to, you know, pay for a chance at it. And again, I don't think that any other hobby that would be allowed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, it just wouldn't. You know, if I'm going to play golf and I get to the golf course and I'm like, all right, I need a new sleeve of balls. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, you can buy this sleeve for 30. Mm-hmm. When it's normally, you know, like 15, you know, okay, so that's overpriced, but what's the other option? Well, you can pay 10 at a chance to get the $30
sleeve. You're talking about a necessity in order to play the game. And none of these games are like that. To be able to play any of the games, you don't have to spend anything. It's only if you wanted to go, like, I want the glow-in-the-dark balls. And they're like, well, you'll get the ones that shoot flames behind them, or you have a chance to get those, or you'll get just normal glow-in-the-dark balls. But, or if you don't want to pay anything, you just use your normal balls. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, but that's my point, though, is that none of that would ever be a thing. It would all, it's always in every other hobby, every other thing that you dump your money into to spend, you spend your free time. It's always like, all right, I want to do this.
If they were smarter. I think that anything could use that. Why not? People enjoy prizes. They enjoy gambling. I mean, these people like that's why game show networks and game shows, people like
watching. Do you work for the USA Gambling
Board? No, I'm just saying, like, what's the problem?
You sound like an advocate for gambling.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I haven't actually gone to a casino in 13 years.
Please don't. Please don't. Please don't, you know, do it.
But that's the thing. I have very good self-control. Like, yes.
Are you sure?
Are you 100% sure about that? Sure. I am very, very good when it comes to gambling. I have very good self-control when it comes to any of that stuff. But I do find it fun at the same time. Like, I like buying a raffle ticket here and there, you know? I don't mind doing that kind of stuff, but I'm not a kind of person that's going to go mortgage a house or sell my car or, you know, a kidney or take right. money out of my kid's mouth. I have a proposal for things. You. But at the same time, I think they're fun.
I have a proposal for you. You will pay me $5, okay? And you will roll a D20.
Okay.
Okay. And if you roll a natural 20, I will give you $6. All right. If you roll anything other than a natural 20, I keep the five. Do you want to do it?
That doesn't sound fun.
Why not? You could get an extra dollar. What if I doubled it? What if you rolled a natural 20, you got 10?
No. See, it's still not fun to me. That's what I'm saying. Like,
What if you paid $5 and I would give you $20 if you rolled a natural 20?
No, because see, with those kind of things, the odds are always you want them to be worth it.
Against you.
Well, you want them to be worth it.
The odds are always against you. Anytime you're gambling, the odds are against you. That's
but I mean, if you
point.
Go to a casino and you're dealing with a roulette table. A roulette table has how many numbers on it? Is it 32, 34, something like that?
34.
That if you bet on that one number and you get it, just like you would have a 1 through 20 and you roll a natural 20, that's the same as that 1 through 34. If you hit that one, you get a 34 times payout. So if I paid in $5, I would have to get a 20 times payout on that $5 for it to be worth doing. And even then, it's like I said, I mean, I have avenues to gamble if I want to. I have avenues to gamble in Apex or League or any of these things, and I don't do them. But like I said, just because I don't do them doesn't mean I don't like them or like the idea of it. I like when I get a box in Apex, when we're leveling up and I get a box, I liked clicking that little box and watching the pretty colors flash around and something pop
You're
out.
You're the target audience. Don't worry.
No,
You're
I'm not because I haven't spent a penny on it. But I still think that it's fun.
But it's the mentality, though.
Okay. All right. So let Jack rephrase the question then. You're going to pay him $5 to roll a D20.
No, because I'm telling you, it's right. not as soon as fun. You roll, I'm telling on. You that you pick another as hobby and you do roll. It in a fun way. Maybe I would. Maybe I wouldn't.
Hold on, Josh. Hold on. All right. You'll finish your 30-second answer. You roll that D20. All right. And then as soon as you roll that D20, a little gnome will pop out of the dice and it will tell you if you failed or won. Would you like to roll that D20 then?
I don't know.
Wait, we just went into fantasy land.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. Josh is basing off the fact is because it's the pretty. Way that they make you loot the box is fun, right? So, you know, if the D20 had a cool property where, you know, every other time that it failed, you know, it turned red and then, you know, did a demon laugh. And then as soon as you land on that 20, the little 20 would pop open and boom, you know, $20 flew out or something like that.
Yeah.
No, what my point was is Jack was saying that the gambling loot box scenario doesn't work in anything other than video games. And I was saying that it could work in any other hobby if they figured out a way to implement it correctly. That's what I'm saying. I think that a lot of
other people. My point is that they wouldn't.
That's
they would
fine.
Not do that.
And I think that
people
they're missing out on money, and the video game industry is showing us that. I think thinking that gambling only works in the video game industry is very close-minded. I think that it could work in so many other things because the video game industry.
I'm not saying that it couldn't work. I'm saying that it wouldn't. People would not put up with it. I would never, ever, 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 ever do something like that in golf or photography, or because the odds of those things are always against you. That's like going to the arcade and playing that little, the little game with you put the key in the hole to get the iPad. Like the motion of the little rod that goes up in the air when you have to try to stop it at the perfect thing, it's like a 1 in 1 millionth of a centimeter to fit through that hole. But that game is in the
arcade for a reason. If it didn't make any money, it wouldn't be in the arcade. People dump money into those things. No,
that's
the
point.
Crazy.
That's my point. That is my point. It's there because it's impossible to win.
No, it's not that it's impossible to win. It's enticing to play.
So real quick, just because Jack said that, at my job, I had a kid and a mom come in, and they brought me a phone. They brought me a Note 9, right, that he won on a cruise ship through one of those machines. And he did it by taking his grandmother's card, running it in the – you know how like arcades now have the card thing? You no longer have to like pay. Running it through the card took out $257, she said, that he played on this machine to get this Note 9. That he was sitting there over and over and over again playing this game to do the key thing.
Yeah. Okay, so he spent $250 and the phone was probably given to them to put in there. And they probably didn't pay for it.
More than likely, yeah. Or it was refurbished.
Or something. Yeah, or you know, something. Donated. Whatever. Doesn't matter. But the point is that those odds are always stacked up against you. And no, you're looking at it from you're looking at it from the point of view of the company, right? I'm looking at it from the point of the consumer, is that I'm never going to do it because it's impossible to win. You're saying people do it because it's enticing to play.
I'm just saying that that's cool. Like if you don't want to do it because you think it's a dumb thing, then that's cool. But I don't see any reason for a company not having it just because you would never play it. Like, I mean, studies show that someone will play it.
Will so, play it, yeah.
Like, as a company.
Yes, just like the people will go drink at a bar and drive home drunk, even though it's illegal and they can kill somebody. They'll still do it.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't see a problem in any other company, hobby, whatever, running the same exact scenario. I think that companies could learn tremendously from the way that this has gone. I mean, what other like things like Fortnite or League of Legends have shown up and just in a couple of years turned into multi-billion-dollar mega companies
by predatory microtransactions, like they're doing it in a way that lets themselves make money. Sure, it's the consumer's fault. The parents are not watching the kids enough. The kids are just spending mindlessly a whole amount of money. The issue about it is that you're spending so much money on a product that doesn't exist. Jack, how much money have you spent in League of Legends?
That is not something that I'm willing to disclose.
All right, we'll say you've spent about $300 on skins. Okay.
That is not even close.
All right. We'll say you spend $300 on skins. Let's say Riot Games tomorrow, for some reason, they're like, guys, we are shutting our servers down. We're ending it. League of Legends is done. Boom.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
What do you get back from the money that you spent on League of Legends?
Good times, man. The memories. Good times.
That is absolute BS.
But that's the thing. Jack literally uninstalled the game from his computer a while back because he was pissed off at it, and he didn't.
Probably about how much money he spent on League of Legends. And good for him too.
That's the thing. Like he did that. He went on. He didn't once go like, man, I'm so pissed about the money that I spent on this game because I'm uninstalling it.
No.
Like, no. That wasn't even one of the reasons the thing about it is
and why it needs to be regulated or something needs to be done is you're not getting an actual product. You are getting a digitalized version of something that if for some reason something happens to the client that's running it, or if they go bankrupt or something happens to it, your money is gone.
I think that's perfectly fine.
You just wasted your money on something that you're never going to get back.
That's where I jump off the boat there, because technically everything that you pay for you're paying for a moment in time in your life that you're never going to get back.
I spent 10 grand going down to Disneyland. I don't have shit for it.
Yeah, but you have the memories, the pictures.
That's literally
you can't take those moments with you.
I'm talking more about a product, though. I'm not talking about like a trip to Disney World, which is ridiculous.
But it's the same concept. Even you buy, spending, you know, 30 grand on a car. Okay, and 30 grand on a car in 6 years, the car turns into a rust pile. You trade it in, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So you had it for that time, and then it's gone. Everything that you buy, everything that you spend money on, everything that you invest in, et cetera, it is all finite. That's why it is a very, very daunting task to look at our finite lives from an introspective point of view in this grand scheme of the universe and in the grand scheme of time from beginning to end. Because if you think about it, every second, every minute, every hour, everything as it takes pass is literally just ticking your life away slowly. And that's that. At the end, you have nothing, right? Except for memories, accomplishments, people, whatever, right? So you can't say, oh, well, I'm spending this money for something that like doesn't exist, because technically nothing exists. Oh, everything is here. All right, everything's here. Everything's not, right? I mean, it is at the end of the day. Like, we're here, but... I mean,
can I get a snapping fingers audio log, please?
No.
All right.
I mean, we're going way far past into now we're talking about, you know.
But let's
psychological and
to recommendations for my corporate brotherhood, right? So, all right, guys, forget it. Let's knock out actually buying skins. That's a thing of the past. That was yesterday. Now we're going to be renting skins. All right. So it's going to be $10 and you can use this skin for 7 days. After that, they already do that.
They already do that.
What? No. Like, I know that they do that like in League of Legends where you can like unlock a Porter or something. I'm talking like you actually have to buy.
Yeah. There's things that, what game was that where you can use? Was it Heroes of the Storm? I think Hots did that, where you like you could unlock a skin, but it was like for a certain amount of days.
I don't know. I know they League really of Legends
was it in-game currency or was it actual currency?
Wait, what was that? League of Legends
has where you can rent a skin or try it out for a week.
Well, if you have if you got the loot box, you can unlock it for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not like actually pay to.
But you can because you can buy those loot boxes.
I'm actually talking about like if League of Legends was like, hey guys, we're going to let you use Dragon Slayer Pantheon for 7 days, but it's going to cost you $5.
But they effectively do that.
Yeah, and I don't know what's wrong with that. I rented.
You can also buy this from Redbox
for the same thing, and I get an hour and a half's worth of enjoyment out of something like that compared to a skin. If I got it for a week, I would get much more enjoyment out of that. Now, am I going to do that now? No, but think about it. Like if we were having a LAN party and we were going to go like, all right, all of us friends get together. We're going to crash at someone's house. We're all playing the same game all weekend long. A renting system would be a fantastic system for something like that. It's like, cause we're all going to be playing together. We're going to be goofing off on the same game or doing things like that. That yeah, it'd be cool to go like, all right, I feel like playing this character all weekend. I'm going to go ahead and rent a skin for him, but I don't want to spend the full.
Yeah,
$30.
But the prices would be crazy. Let's be real.
Yeah, but not as much as like actually 50 purchase cents, it.
Maybe.
Cause if it was the same amount to purchase it, you would just purchase it. So it would have to be a percentage.
How much do you think that skin actually costs? Let's be real. How much do you think that skin actually costs from someone making that skin, right? Doesn't cost anything to upload it into the code, but it does cost someone to make it into there, right?
So I think that it's actually probably pretty expensive. Not like, I mean, you have to think about it. Like there's a reason why that they're selling these skins for $5, $10. They probably cost hundreds for the artists, the graphics, the coders, all of those.
Well, they have their own artists and everything that they pay by the hour to do. So let's say a final product takes 20 days. We'll say a final product takes 20 days, right? So the amount of hours and everything it takes for that one, even that would be quite a bit of money. But still, that's $10 per skin. They would need 1,000 people to buy that skin in order to make money off of it. I mean, I wish you could see how many people
instantly. Instantly. Yeah.
But then all the other money is just profit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then they're putting that into paying. I mean, look, everything's a business. I think ultimately what we got to come back around to as we kind of finalize and have our closing arguments is the actual transactions, right? The transactions themselves that fuel the video game industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Josh, I'm only giving you 30 seconds.
I don't even need that amount.
Okay.
What's the question?
Going forward. Listen, I'm getting there. Going forward, how do you see it? Does it stay the same or does something change?
I think there's going to be changes over time. Everything evolves here and there. You know, I think companies are trying things out and they're going to figure out what works and what doesn't work. I think the Star Wars Battlefront, whatever, found out, hey, this shit doesn't work. And then there's other companies that are figuring out that something works good. That, you know, like I said, these are companies that want to make money. I'm not a fucking commie, so I'm all for capitalism.
Okay. All right, Luch, what about you?
I'm a commie. Fuck capitalism. it needs to be regulated. I don't know exactly how. I can't go into the logistics of it, but it needs to be regulated one way or another.
Okay. I think that it needs to be regulated by the populace as a whole. I mean, look, at the end of the day, stupid people are going to do stupid things. People are going to spend their money where they want. Video games, casinos, you know, just gambling, online gambling, et cetera. It's all it is an enabler and an outlet. It's going to happen no matter what. I just wish that there would always be an option, because for smarter people, for people that will stand up to the companies, the companies themselves are doing themselves a disservice by treating everybody, okay, everybody in the entire consumer population on the same intelligence level. They're doing themselves mm-hmm. a disservice, because you see somebody like League of Legends that is a huge, you know, multi-million billion-dollar company now,
mm-hmm.
right? They're making all this money. They appeal to so many people. They don't alienate anyone. They appeal to everybody because everybody has an option. You have the people that won't spend a single dollar, that'll just play the game and enjoy it. Then you have the people that are hardcore, that'll just dump. You know, I mean, I've been playing for season 10 now? I've been playing for like eight seasons, almost since the game first came out. Dumped a ton of money into it, and I've never looked at it like, man, I've wasted money on this game. Why? Because like the money that I paid for it was for time with friends, was, you know, for in-game purchases for other people, giving gifts, etc. So they got it right in the sense of they appease and appeal to everybody, and everyone else, all the other developers, can take a hint from that, because they alienate their player base by thinking that everybody are mindless idiots that are just going to throw money at their casinos and at their loot boxes until they get what they want. When, like you said, Josh, when they step over the line and they become pay to win, or the rewards are just absolutely ridiculous for what you have to pay, like this new Apex patch, people step up and say, this isn't right. We're not going to play your game, right? So I think that I would like to see that shift in the way that they treat everybody and give everybody an option. I like the fact that there's free-to-play games that have transactions, because it does give everybody an option. It gives people the option to gamble, to spend money on things that they just want outright, and then the other people to not pay a dime and still be able to enjoy the game. Because they make enough money off of those gamblers, and they make enough money off of the people that are purchasing things directly to fund the game and keep it going for the people that are just playing it just to play it. Because there's always going to be those groups. And that's my overall take on it. But at the end of the day, I think that we can all agree that the regulation needs to come down to the individual.
That's what I agree as well.
This is if we could get Luch to agree with this, this is going to be a first in the history of the Bonus Level podcast. Oh, no, absolutely not.
I do think it needs to be regulated legally, and it does need to be regulated through the corporations as well. I absolutely think it needs. I can't.
Well, I don't trust people.
Well, and
I tried, folks.
I tried, folks.
No.
And that's okay. We don't have to agree. We can, you know, it's okay to be wrong. Luch in this situation, he's, you know, he's unfortunately on the wrong side of things. But, you know, that's the way things go.
But you agreed with me in the beginning. I don't know what's going on.
Not about that. Not about that. I didn't.
About regulations?
No, I didn't. I mean, I agree that there should be options across the board. But I, at the end of the day, the responsibility is on the consumer, 100%. So that's that. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Bonus Level Podcast.
I did.
And the intense discussion that followed the ethics around predatory microtransactions and how Josh is never allowed near a casino again.
I'm telling you.
Even though he claims to have self-control, all he wants to do is gamble. And I can hear it in his voice.
It's so fun.
Oh, my God.
Join us next week for Gamblers Anonymous as we all go to rehab. And by rehab, I mean just you, whatever. Josh. Just you. Because you think gambling is very fun. And actually, it you know, the thrill right. of it is definitely there. Fucked. So, thanks. I appreciate you. And I appreciate everybody out there. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't yet, please follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, iTunes or Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and hit us up with questions, comments, and concerns on any of your favorite platforms. I'm sure you'll talk to one of us if you just take the time to reach out.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay. From all of us here at the Bonus Level Podcast, hope you have a great week.